And good afternoon. You're listening to Ken Hudnall. This is the Ken Hudnall Show. Coming to you from our studios right here in exciting El Paso, Texas. Gateway to the Old West and the most haunted city in the country. Well, today's January 26th. 26th day of the year. 339 days remain till this year's over with. On this day in history, in 661, the Rashidun Caliphate is effectively ended with the assassination of Ali, the last caliph. 945, the co-emperors Stephen and Constantine are overthrown and forced to become monks by Constantine VII, who becomes the sole emperor of the Byzantine Empire. 1500, Vincent Yanez Pinzon becomes the first European to set foot on Brazil. 1531, a 6.4 to 7.1 Lisbon earthquake kills about 30,000 people. 1564, the Council of Trent establishes an official distinction between Roman Catholicism and Protestantism. 1564, the Grand Duchy of Lithuania defeats the Tsardom of Russia in the Battle of Ula during the Livonian War. 1565, the Battle of Talakota, fought between the Vijayan and Agara Empire and the Deccan Sultanates, leads to the subjugation and eventual destruction of the last Hindu kingdom in India, and the consolidation of Islamic rule over much of the Indian subcontinent. 1699, for the first time, the Ottoman Empire permanently cedes territory to the Christian powers. 1700, an 8.7 and 9.2 earthquake. The Cascadia earthquake takes place off the west coast of North America. It's shown by the Japanese records. 1736, Stanislaus I of Poland abdicates his throne. 1788, the British First Fleet, led by Arthur Phillips, sails into Port Jackson, now known as Sydney Harbor, to establish Sydney, the first permanent European settlement of Australia. It's commemorated as Australia Day. 1808, the Rum Rebellion is the only successful, although a short-lived armed takeover of the government in New South Wales. 1837, Michigan is minted as the 26th U.S. state. 1838, Tennessee enacts the first prohibition law in the U.S. Figures. 1841, James Bremer takes formal possession of Hong Kong Island at what's now Possession Point that established the British Hong Kong. 1855, Point No Point Treaty is signed in Washington Territory. 1856, the First Battle of Seattle. Marines from the USS Decatur drive off American Indian attackers after an all-day battle with settlers. Okay, in 1861, American Civil War, the state of Louisiana secedes on this date from the Union. 1863, General Ambrose Burnside is relieved of command of the Army of the Potomac after the disastrous Fredericksburg campaign. He's replaced by General Joseph Hooker, after whom the ladies of the night are named. 1863, Governor of Massachusetts, John Albion Andrew, gets permission from the Secretary of War to raise a militia organization for men of African descent. 1870, Reconstruction era, Virginia rejoins the Union. 1885, troops loyal to the Mahdi conquer Khartoum, killing Governor General Charles George Gordon. If you ever saw the movie Khartoum, Charlton Heston plays General Gordon. 1905, the world's largest diamond ever found, the Cullinan, weighing 3,106.75 carats, is found at the Premier Mine near Pretoria in South Africa. 1911, Glenn Curtiss flies the first successful American seaplane. 1915, the Rocky Mountain National Park is established by an act of Congress. 1918, the Finnish Civil War, a group of Red Guards hangs a red lantern atop the tower of Helsinki Workers' Hall to symbolically mark the start of the war. 1920, former Ford Motor Company executive Henry Leland launches the Lincoln Motor Company, which he later sold to his former employer. 1926, the first demonstration of the television was conducted by John Logie Baird. 1930, the Indian National Congress declares 26th of January as Independence Day, or as the day of Purna Swaraj, complete independence, which occurred 17 years later. 1934, the Apollo Theater reopens in Harlem, New York City. 1934, the German-Polish Non-Aggression Pact is signed. That was almost a guarantee of war, Non-Aggression Pact. 1939, Spanish Civil War, Catalonia Offensive, troops loyal to Nationalist General Francisco Franco, aided by Italy, take Barcelona. 1942, the first U.S. forces arrive in Europe, landing in Northern Ireland. 1945, the Red Army begins encircling the German 4th Army near Heiligenbell in East Prussia, which will end in the destruction of the 4th Army 2 months later. 1945, Audie Murphy displays valor and bravery in action, for which he'll be awarded the Medal of Honor. 1949, the Hale Telescope at Palomar Observatory sees first light under direction of Edwin Hubble, becoming the largest aperture optical telescope until the BTA-6 is built in 1976. 1950, the Constitution of India comes into force, forming a republic. Rajendra Prasad is sworn in as the first president of India. Observed as Republic Day in India. That's this date in history. 1952, Black Saturday in Egypt. Rioters burn Cairo Central Business District, targeting British and upper-class Egyptian businesses. 1956, Soviet Union cedes Parkala back to Finland. 1961, John F. Kennedy appoints Janet Travail to be the first woman physician to the president. 1962, Ranger 3 is launched to study the moon. The space probe later misses the moon by only 22,000 miles. 1965, Hindi becomes the official language of India. 1972, JET Flight 367 is destroyed by a terrorist bomb. Kills 27 of the 28 people on board the DC-9. Flight attendant Vesna Volovic survives with critical injuries. 1974, Turkish Airlines Flight 301 crashes during takeoff from Izmir Kumaovasi Airport, killing 66 of the 73 on board the Fokker 528 Fellowship. 1980, Egyptian-Israeli relations are formally established. 1986, the Ugandan government of Tito Okello was overthrown by the National Resistance Army, led by Yoweri Museveni. 1991, Mohamed Sayed Barre is removed from power in Somalia. Ends centralized government and is succeeded by Ali Mahdi. 1992, Boris Yeltsin announces Russia will stop targeting U.S. cities with nuclear weapons. Gee, that's nice to know. 1998, the Monica Lewinsky scandal. On American television, U.S. President Bill Clinton denies having had sexual relations with former White House intern Monica Lewinsky, which turned out later not to be true. He said he was confused because of what the definition of the word is. 2001, the 7.7 Gujarat earthquake strikes western India with a maximum Mercalli intensity of 10, leaving 13,805 to 20,023 dead and about 166,800 injured. 2009, rioting breaks out in Antananarivo, Madagascar, spiking a political crisis as a result of the replacement of President Marc Ravalomanana with Andre Rajoelina. Gee, 2015, if I butchered the names, I apologize. An aircraft crashes at Los Llanos Air Base in Albacete, Spain, killing 11 people and injuring 21 others. And in 2020, a Sikorsky S-76B flying from John Wayne Airport to Camarillo Airport crashes in Calabasas, 30 miles west of Los Angeles, kills all 9 people on board, including former 5-time NBA champion Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gianna Bryant. The Sikorsky S-76B was a helicopter which was still believed to be one of the better helicopters in the air. Holidays and observances: Christian Feast Day, Alberic, founders of Cito, Alberic of Citeru, Robert of Molism, of the Molismi, and Stephen Harding, Blessed Gabriella Allegra, Paula, Timothy and Titus, Australia Day in Australia, Duarte Day in Dominican Republic, Engineers Day in Panama, International Customs Day and Liberation Day in Uganda, and in India, it's Republic Day. All right, so let's see what else we got. In 66 AD, the 5th recorded perihelion passage of Halley's Comet. 1340, English King Edward III is proclaimed King of France. 1482, Pentateuch, the Jewish Bible, is first printed as a book in Bologna, Italy. 1589, Job is elected as Patriarch of Moscow in all Russia. 1654, Portuguese troops conquered the last Dutch base on Recife. 1697, Isaac Newton receives Jean Bernoulli's 6-month time limit problem. Solves the problem before going to bed that same night. 1784, Benjamin Franklin expressed unhappiness over the eagle being America's symbol. If I'm not mistaken, he wanted it to be the turkey. 1789, John O'Dell signs a contract with 336 pounds to build St. Peter's Church in the Bronx. 336 pounds in those days was a good sum of money. 1802, Congress passes an act calling for a U.S. Capitol Library to be created. 1850, the first German language daily newspaper in the U.S. is published in New York City. 1862, Lincoln issues General War Order No. 1, calling for a Union offensive. General McClellan ignored the order. It was always said he was a brilliant organizer, a brilliant trainer, but sending him troops is like trying to shovel flies across a room. 1871, the U.S. income tax is repealed. 1875, the electric dental drill is patented by George F. Green. 1881, the Union of Baptist Communities forms in Foxhall. 1882, the French government of Gambetta falls. 1887, the Battle of Dogali. Abyssinian Emperor John IV defeats the Italians. 1897, the Battle at Beta Gold Coast. The British troops beat Nupa's army. The Muhammad Ahmed, the Mahdi, as he was known, who conquered Khartoum and killed Gordon. The reason his army was so well armed, he was looked at as an upstart, so mercenaries were sent in with a heavily armed force of native soldiers, and it was led into a trap and massacred. So the Mahdi was heavily armed with some of the best weapons out there. In 1907, the first U.S. federal corrupt election practices law was passed. In 1907, John Millington Synge's Playboy of the Western World opens in Dublin. The play was claimed to be immoral and it caused riots all over the city. 1907, the short magazine Lee Enfield Mark III rifle officially introduced into British military service. Second oldest military rifle still in official use. 1907, in Austria, universal direct suffrage, limited to males over 24, is introduced.
Motion detected at
that was a reform long demanded by the socialists and many others. 1913, Jim Thorpe, the Native American standout in the Olympics in 1912, had to give up his 1912 medals because he played as a professional baseball player, and that was forbidden. 1915, Rocky Mountain National Park in Colorado is established. 1918, Herbert Hoover, the U.S. Food Administrator, calls for wheatless and meatless days to support the war effort. He became the 31st U.S. president. 1920, Amadeo Modigliani's fiancée, Jean Ebbutterny, jumped out of a window a day after his funeral, killed herself and her unborn child. 1932, the British submarine M2 sinks in the English Channel. 60 people die. 1939, filming began on Gone with the Wind. 1940, the Nazis forbid Polish Jews to travel on trains. 1942, the Italian Supreme Command demands the dismissal of German Field Marshal Erwin Rommel, probably the best military commander on either side. 1952, at least 20 people been killed and hundreds injured during riots in Cairo against the British. 1954, groundbreaking begins on Disneyland. 1957, a Dutch pacifist socialist party is created. Also in 57, India annexes Kashmir. 1958, the Japanese ferry Nankai Maru capsizes off southern Awaji Island in Japan. 167 are killed. 1962, Bishop Burke of Buffalo Catholic Diocese declared Chubby Checkers the Twist to be impure and immoral and banned it from all Catholic schools. What happened? There we go. Well, on that note, 1965, the South Vietnamese military coup under General Nguyen Khan. What we're going to do now is talk more about haunted Civil War. In Charleston, South Carolina, we have the Old Charleston Jail. Now, it's known simply as the Old Jail. It's a castle-like prison functioned as the Charleston County Jail from 1802 until 1939. It's got a very interesting history, and thanks to regular appearances on haunted reality shows, it's well known for its ghost stories. It's also home to the American College of the Building Arts and is an ongoing restoration project. Now, during the Civil War, the jail was used to house prisoners of war captured from the Union Army. Now, this was in addition to the criminals already being detained there. And while there are certainly people who have claimed to have seen spirits associated with the war, most of the ghosts at this location appear to point back to the collection of famous criminals who were jailed there during the 1800s. Most famous criminals to have passed through the jail would be John and Lavinia Fisher. Now, this husband and wife team ran an inn by the name of the 6 Mile Wayfarer House, located just outside the city of Charleston. This small lodge gained a local reputation for guests vanishing. Seems though that law enforcement didn't take these claims very seriously. The Fisher family was held in high regard, and no evidence was ever produced that would point the finger of suspicion at them. But, like so many others, then their luck failed. Lavinia and John were alleged members of a small gang to take advantage of people staying at the inn. At least they did that with people who had money. Lavinia would serve the unsuspecting guests tea laced with poison when they succumbed to the brew in their rooms. John would go in and stab them to make sure they were really dead. The remainder of the gang presumably helped dispose of the bodies and take care of the cleanup. Unfortunately for them, two of the guests survived their machinations and hastened the Fisher's doom. One man, named David Ross, was actually caught by the gang while he was staking out the place. He was roughed up, with Lavinia herself smashing his head through a window, but he managed to escape, went straight to the authorities and reported the incident. A short time later, a second man named John Peoples decided to stay at the inn. When he was served the tea, he refused to drink it. He said he didn't like tea. Went straight to his room. Prior to going to bed, though, he suffered enough interrogations from Lavinia he was now suspicious of her and the inn, so he slept in a chair next to the door rather than in the bed. He woke up to the sound of John attacking the bed with his knife, so he decided it was time for him to get gone. Once Peoples alerted the police in Charleston to what happened, they had enough evidence to move on the Fishers. They were both arrested and charged with highway robbery. And that day, that crime carried the death penalty. A year later, they were hung right in front of the jail, but it seems one of them never really left. The spirit of Lavinia instead still roamed the jail, angry as ever about being caught. She's usually seen as a black, shadowy mass or silhouette and is known to set off the motion alarms, move things around, and generally creep people out. Other spirits who reputedly reside in the prison include pirates who were jailed there, Denmark Vesey, who organized the slave revolt and was hung for it, and of course, prisoners of war who spent their last moments of their lives sitting in the cold, hard floors of the old Charleston jail. Then in Charleston, we also have the Old Exchange Building, formerly known as the Old Exchange and Provost Dungeon. This civic-minded building had been used for a plethora of reasons over the years. It took almost 5 years to build. They started in 1767 and finished it up in 1771. It was initially a customs house and trade center, though it quickly expanded to accommodate a small jail and place for city officials and merchants to meet. During the American Revolution, the exchange buildings used to store tea that had been confiscated from the British Army. It was the original meeting place for local revolutionaries. When the British captured the city of Charleston in 1780, they used it to house prisoners of war, as well as traitorous and criminal British soldiers. It's estimated more than 120 prisoners were held there during this time period. Once the war was over, though, the Exchange Building was transformed to a post office for the region until the American Civil War. After South Carolina seceded from the Union, it became clear the Confederacy needed to figure out the solutions to a lot of problems. One such problem was, of course, the mail system. Without the use of federal stamps and logistics that were in place for the mail, Postmaster Alfred Huger had to come up with something. And though he was a Unionist, he loved his state, so he stayed in Charleston to continue running the post office for the Confederates. And since the creation of postage stamps had occurred at the Exchange Building, he simply went to a local printer and created a stamp for use for the Confederate States of America. I've got some of those. Charleston saw a lot of turmoil during the Civil War, and the old Exchange had its fair share of that as well. During a heavy bombardment by Union gunships, the building was damaged, but after a few repairs, it appeared to be as good as ever and will continue to operate for the people of Charleston for many years to come. Today, the old Exchange is owned and operated by the South Carolina Society of the Daughters of the American Revolution. They offer costume tours of the site that talk about all the history and wonder that's taken place over the years. And if you ask them, you might even get some first-hand accounts of ghostly happenings as well. While the structure certainly played an important part during the Civil War, this time around the ghosts are significantly older than that. They're said to date back to the American Revolution, when the dungeon below ground were in heavy use. The conditions of the prison were deplorable, with standing water often causing stagnation, disease, and death. Those who have encountered the paranormal in this area say it's truly terrifying. The moans and groans of those in despair are often reported, as well as the occasional sighting of a dismayed apparition. Sometimes a ghost even managed to get upstairs into the main part of the old Exchange. Because the tours are given in period costume, you can imagine the confusion these spirits must endure, probably believing they're still in their own time. The confusion's also passed on to tourists. At least two have spoken to a tour guide just to see him disappear right in front of their eyes. That would tend to be, disconcerting. Then from there we go to Nashville, Tennessee. Tennessee State Capitol. Now, construction of this Greek Revival masterpiece began in 1845 and took 14 years to complete. It's the masterwork of architect William Strickland, who passed away before the building was even completed. Part of the building was modeled after the Chalcedonic monument of Lysicrates in Athens, Greece, and is one of only 12 state capitol buildings that doesn't have a dome. During the American Civil War, the capital of Tennessee was the first of the Confederacy to fall to the Union Army, and the capitol building was quickly occupied by the Yankees. First, it was used as a hospital to treat the wounded coming in from the Battle of Stones River, which is in Murfreesboro, 32 miles south. When the worst of that was over, the hospital was expanded into a barracks and eventually into Fort Andrew Johnson. He was the Vice President of the United States, don't you know, under Lincoln. The fort was never attacked, however, so the cannons were only used for ceremonies and events. Once the war was over, the Capitol reverted to its role, seat of government for the state of Tennessee. And the same can be said of that structure even today. Tours are offered to the Capitol. It's a great way to see all the sites there, including the tomb of President James K. Polk and statues and monuments dedicated to President Andrew Jackson, President Andrew Johnson, and Civil War hero Sam Davis. If you ever want to see something fascinating, go to the Sam Davis home, which is located outside of Smyrna. We used to have a family reunion there every year. But the main attraction is the dual tombs of William Strickland, the designer of the building, and Samuel Morgan, a governor appointee who oversaw the construction of the Capitol. This is said to be the source of the hauntings in this particular structure. Strickland and Morgan famously argued over every aspect of the Capitol's construction. Everyone was well aware the two men hated each other, and both were famously buried within the structure after their death. So imagine the surprise of those working there when they heard the phantom voices of the two men still arguing. Over the years, numerous visitors to the Capitol have heard the disembodied voices of Strickland and Morgan speaking in heated tones to each other. If you do make a visit to the Haunted Capitol, you may want to make sure you're there for the final tour of the day. That's said to be your best chance of hearing the ghostly voices at about 9 a.m. But don't be sad if you miss it. There's also a female apparition seen around the building in an antebellum dress. This ghostly figure seems to grieve over the monument to President Polk, and the spirit of a Confederate soldier also has been seen wandering the grounds. Then in Farmville, Virginia, we have Longwood University. And while Longwood University is a public liberal arts school today, it wasn't always the case. In fact, racial tensions ran high as this university began its entry into the civil rights era. As the towns of Farmville resisted the laws of desegregation in 1959, community leaders of the college did nothing to further the cause of those being discriminated against. I can identify with that. Public schools in Prince Edward County shut down until 1964 before accepting the law of the country. Just seems an odd thing since the school originated in 1939 as the Farmville Female Seminary Association. During the Civil War, the state of Virginia was an almost constant battleground. But massive battles like the Wilderness, Pennsylvania, and Chancellorsville, the state endured hardship and far more than its fair share of casualties. Longwood University actually saw the war's two most illustrious generals, Ulysses S. Grant and Robert E. Lee, march their respective armies to the Appomattox Courthouse to end it all. Today, the institutions, like many others in the country, is well known for their quality of education. After researching the various spooky tales that surround this campus, it may be the most superstitious in the country. Seriously, urban legend, curses, and weird stories seem to be in abundance at Longwood. One of the most well-known legends involves the name of the school. Through the years, the university's had a few different names. It's said that every time the name has changed, it's doomed the school to have a fire. 1923, a dining facility burned down after a decision was made to change the name to State Teachers College. And just before the name was switched to Longwood College in 1949, a fire destroyed White House Hall. There was even a fire in 2001 when the current name was taken by the school. This time the fire was in Ruffner Hall. So don't expect any name changes for this place to take place anytime soon. They don't have enough buildings to spare. It's also a legend. It involves a statue of a Confederate soldier located on campus. According to this legend, as long as you can see a shadow from the statue in the nearby wing of Ruffner Hall, the ghost of the resident soldier will remain dormant. Presumably, the ghost somehow resides in the statue, but if the shadow isn't present, the ghost then roams the campus in the town of Farmville looking for trouble. There's even photograph of the shadowy apparition standing in front of the fire in 2001. Then Tab Hall is said to have a banshee of sorts that screams when somebody's about to come to harm. German Auditorium is haunted by a spirit who's placated by reserving him a seat during theater presentations. If you don't leave a rose in the program in his seat, he'll sabotage the production, according to the story. And Curry Residence Hall has the spirit of a young boy. You can see if you simply take the elevator to the 10th floor and then take it down to the basement again. Superstition? Maybe. Maybe not. Then in Lexington, Virginia, we have Virginia Military Institute, also known as VMI. It's created in 1836 when the Virginia legislature passed a bill allowing the arsenal located in the city of Lexington to be repurposed into a school. The goal was to teach a balance of practical subjects coupled with military training. Classes began in 1939. The class of 42 graduated 16 cadets. From the very beginning, the tradition of a sentinel was instituted, with the first ever being Private John Strange. Since that time, a sentinel's been on duty at all hours, almost without fail. In 1850, a new set of barracks was constructed, and the very next year, Thomas Stonewall Jackson began teaching on campus. And when their teacher became General Jackson, students from VMI were shipped to Camp Lee in Richmond to help train new Confederate soldiers. In all, students from the school would contribute to 14 different engagements. It's said that when General Jackson noticed how many of his former students were present at the Battle of Chancellorsville, he said the Institute will be heard from today. The Battle of New Market, an individual unit was made called the VMI Corps of Cadets. They suffered 55 casualties in the battle, with 10 cadets killed. Even their commander, Colonel Scott Shipp, was wounded, but it was the addition of these troops that carried the South to the victory that day. VMI graduate and sculptor Moses Ezekiel, who was one of the wounded during the battle, created a statue to honor those that fell at the Battle of New Market. It's called Virginia Mourning Her Dead, and it still stands today. VMI is currently running strong and is consistently ranked well by U.S. News and World Reports. Students enjoy a quality education on a historical campus. With all the tradition and history comes a couple of ghost stories as well. There seems to be two that are most well-known throughout the facility and the student population. The first involves an apparition that's known as the Sentinel, or some call it the Ghost Sentinel. It's said to be seen on many occasions dressed in a long woolen coat, shoulder cape, and white gloves. He's usually spotted outside in the vicinity of the old barracks, but he's even been witnessed inside a few times as well. On the surface, it would seem to be a prime example of a residual ghost, but many students claim the ghost is quite intelligent, and they usually place blame on the phantom for the various objects that move around the barracks. They've also heard ghostly footsteps, and cold spots are also experienced by many. And for the other ghost story, we need to go back to the famous sculpture created as a memorial for the 10 cadets who were killed in the Battle of New Market. This piece of art's known for ghostly activity. People have heard moans and cries coming from the area of the statue and seen shadowy apparitions nearby. This could be because 6 of the 10 who died were buried behind the sculpture. It said, you know, the spirits are active. The statue has tears on its face, so you may want to give it a look before doing any ghost hunting. The ghost may be hunting you. Well, in Radford, Virginia, we have St. Albans Sanatorium. The Battle of Cloyd's Mountain occurred May 9, 1864. It's one that was probably missed by most folks. Just had a little over 1,000 casualties. This battle in Virginia took place in just over an hour. Though this sounds like a rather mundane affair as battles go in the Civil War, those who survived it say some of the most vicious fighting imaginable occurred here. Most of it was hand-to-hand. Such intense emotion can sometimes provide rich fodder for a haunting, even when that haunting occurs in a place that wouldn't be built for another 28 years. Dating back to 1892, St. Albans was originally constructed to be a school for young boys. Created by George W. Miles, the school quickly gained a reputation for its competitiveness in this discipline, maintained regular enrollment, and seemed to do well until Miles passed away. After that, the institution began to lose students, and soon it was shut down. But it wasn't shut down for long. 1916, Dr. J.C. King bought the property and transformed the school into a sanatorium for the mentally ill. Now, he had good intentions to help those with psychiatric problems, but the methods of the day pretty much turned the place into a house of horrors. Techniques like electroconvulsive therapy, hydroshock therapy, and insulin coma therapy were used regularly, usually causing more problems than the patients were admitted with. Over the years, the health care improved at St. Albans, but eventually shut down completely in 2003. Now, who would imagine that something like an old sanatorium would be haunted? Well, admittedly, everybody pretty much thinks the place is haunted. There's quite a few ghosts that have been documented by numerous paranormal investigators, television shows, and the staff. What's really interesting about this particular spot is you can go investigate the activity for yourself. You can actually book the place for your own investigation. Take one of their official tours or swing by when they're doing one of their haunted house events. And, of course, there are a number of hot spots to check out on the chance you're want to do some solitary ghost hunting. First, there's an electroconvulsive therapy room, said to get a lot of activity, including shadow people, disembodied voices, even physical contact, such as a ghost touching you. With some of the worst treatment being performed in this room, you can imagine the sounds you hear when you get in there. Once you're finished with this particular room, you'll want to move on to the other active areas of the building, the boiler room, the bowling alley, and the old bathroom. Now, the boy in the room said to be haunted by a mean spirit that likes to shove people and speak with a hateful voice. The bowling alley is the hangout for a young spirit that's been named Allie, and the bathroom reportedly has a lot of activity due to several documented suicides that occurred there during the years the place functioned as a sanatorium. I also want to swing by the whistle room where you can take turns whistling with a ghost, and the rocker room where a chair moves all by itself. So what about Civil War ghosts? Well, thanks to that war and the incident known as Draper's Metal Massacre, people have heard the residual sounds of fighting in the vicinity of the building. Make sure you spend some time outside. Maybe you hear the ghostly sounds of gunfire and the shouts of battle. Then in Spotsylvania, Virginia, we have Spotsylvania High School. Known for the Battle of Spotsylvania Courthouse, the town of Spotsylvania is said to have a few ghostly hotspots. Most assume the spiritual activity has to do with the Civil War, though the town has seen a few other horrible events over the years, including a massive fire in 1807, supposedly started by two drunk servants and a deadly serial killer by the name of Richard Evanitz, who killed at least three young girls in the area that they know of. The ghost or ghosts that haunt Spotsylvania High School is most likely associated with the war, though. Casualties in the Battle of the Spotsylvania Courthouse number over 30,000, and following the battle, many in the rural areas surrounding the town were converted to hasty cemeteries to accommodate the large number of deaths. Spotsylvania High School, or Spotsy High, as the locals call it, said to have been built on one such cemetery. When the school was built, graves were indeed relocated to accommodate the structure, so this may be the case with this particular haunting. Activity in the school is well known with faculty and students. These include objects moved by themselves, doors that open and close, and the sounds that would seem to indicate someone invisible is standing among the students. These sounds are usually footsteps, heavy breathing, and disembodied voices that are said to occur as well. If you get permission to take a trip through the school, make sure you go through the library. There are stories of books floating through the air and chairs moving by themselves, and even one person reported seeing an apparition. Some say the haunting of the school, as well as other places located in the area, is the product of a place known as the Bloody Angle. During the famous battle, a particularly horrific clash between federal troops and rebels occurred at this location early on in the morning of May 12, 1864. Because of a bit of confusion on the part of the Union, an attack was made on the Confederate line at 4:45 a.m. in the middle of a thick mist. Now, both sides would fight tooth and nail for almost 24 hours, racking up over 17,000 casualties in this one engagement alone. Those who saw the aftermath of the affair state that all foliage in the area had been laid flat by gunfire and that the carnage was unimaginable. Much like other haunted places in town, a trip through the Bloody Angle is quite the spooky experience. The details have already been documented earlier, but suffice it to say that paranormal activity is common in this part of the national park. So it wouldn't surprise anybody that the activity spilled over into the town as well. Then in Staunton, Virginia, we have the Staunton Train Depot. When the railroad was constructed through the small town of Staunton in 1854, it immediately signaled growth and prosperity. Goods and visitors could now shuttle into the area at record speed and in record numbers. An area known as the Wharf was formed, and commerce was higher than ever before. Hotels sprang up, new merchants were opening shops, and shoppers were appearing in droves to check out the new wares and visit the amazing American Hotel. Then along came the American Civil War. Though Staunton is located in the state of Virginia, many of the townspeople were in favor of preserving the Union. It wasn't until this state formally seceded and joined the Confederacy that all support that this support pretty much faded away. The depot became a mobilization point for troops, as well as performing other miscellaneous military functions, such as commissary, arsenal, and a training post. Even with this cramping the commerce of the town, things were not unduly awful. But in 1864, the destruction of railroads became a vital part of the federal strategy for defeating the South. With the Battle of Piedmont under his belt, Major General David Hunter moved his men into Staunton and set up his headquarters in the Virginia Hotel. After promising to spare any charitable institutions, they began destroying anything in town that could support the Confederate Army. This included factories, mills, and, of course, the railroad. Wouldn't be until after the war was completely over that the railroad was rebuilt and put back into action. But there would be more problems, though. 1890, a major train derailment destroyed the station once again. So the place required another round of repairs, and this incident, along with the misery the war brought upon the city, created the two most famous ghosts of Staunton Train Depot. The first is a Confederate soldier who was killed by a train at the station. Some say he's named D.C. McCleary. Others say the name was made up. Nobody really seems to know for sure. Either way, his apparition has been spotted skulking about the depot on several occasions. And he's not the only ghost. A female ghost who is said to be Myrtle Ruth Knox is also seen there wearing a long white dress or gown. She was an opera singer who had the misfortune of being on board the train that derailed. And if that wasn't enough bad luck, she was the only passenger who died in the wreck. Now she likes to get the attention of women who visit the depot, usually by tugging at their hair or clothing. Sometimes she'll whisper in their ear. Then in Waynesburg, Virginia, we have the public hospital. This facility was known as America's first mental institution. It's also known as the Eastern State Hospital. Opened the doors for its first patient in 1773. Back then, mental illness was regarded as a disease of the brain and that people chose to be insane. So the treatment for patients usually included restraining them, giving them a water treatment, and bleeding them. And if you wonder what bleeding entails, you cut them and let them bleed. Supposedly too much blood could cause problems. By 1836, though, treatment at the facility underwent a major overhaul, and patients were treated kindly and given a regimen of therapy, work, and play to help with their mental maladies. This type of treatment drew new admissions, and soon the hospital added a new wing just for women. And the facility also expanded to 7 buildings. All seemed to be going well until the American Civil War landed on the doorstep. The Battle of Williamsburg was a massive affair involving over 70,000 soldiers and resulting in more than 3,500 casualties. It pitted Union Major General George B. McClellan against Confederate General Joseph E. Johnston. It began May 5, 1862. A day later, a Union contingency entered the Eastern Lunatic Asylum, as the hospital was called at that time, and captured it. Though it doesn't really seem clear why they felt the need to do so. Between the Federal Army and a round of bad luck, which included the death of the superintendent, a fire, and the malfunctioning illumination system, the hospital fell into decline. On the positive side, though, those who were still at the hospital were getting a better form of treatment at this point. Well, maybe not better, but at least kinder. The general view at this point was that science was useless to treat the mentally ill. And the better approach is to make them comfortable while coping with their problems. Now, that wasn't exactly a great treatment, but it certainly seemed better than bleeding them. The hospital operated till the 1960s when all the patients were transferred to a new facility. After that, the building was restored along with much of colonial Williamsburg. Now functions as a museum that you can go visit. So, why would you want to go visit the old public hospital? Well, there's 6 cells of exhibits you can check out, and there's an underground tunnel you can take when you're finished that'll lead you to the nearby DeWitt Wallace Decorative Arts Museum and the Abby Aldrich Rockefeller Folk Art Museum. And, of course, there's the ghost of Dr. John Minson Galt II that you might enjoy meeting. Remember that superintendent of the facility who died? Well, when the soldiers moved into the hospital, Dr. Gaunt was relieved of duty and sent to his home located on the grounds. He was found dead shortly after that, and he had overdosed on opiates. Now, most people believed he committed suicide, especially since he had taken so much opiate-based medicine that the blood vessels in his brain had burst, leaking fluid blood onto the floor. And wasn't long after the new superintendents, the Lee family, moved into the house that they started noticing strange things happening. Seems the bloodstains from the doctor's death would never come clean. When the actual floorboards were removed and replaced, the stain came back. Then the Lee children started complaining of a man that they'd see upstairs in the house. They'd wake up frightened and crying and begging to leave, and stories of the ghost of Gaunt would continue that the house was torn down. But it seems the good doctor didn't leave when the house was torn down. His spirit says to move over to the hospital. Current workers as well as visitors to the museum say the ghost is still there. One of the exhibition beds is routinely messed up during the night when nobody's present. There are strange gusts of air that emanate from nowhere, and items are often found in new places, or sometimes never found at all. Make a visit to the museum, and maybe you'll encounter the mischievous Dr. Galt as well. Well, let's turn our attention to what we might refer to as antebellum haunts. Now, the word antebellum actually comes from the Latin phrase status quo antebellum, means state existing before the war. It's a term used in the U.S. to note any structure that was standing prior to the American Civil War. Still, a large quantity of pre-war houses standing throughout the country. Many of them are now used in a variety of ways. Some of these historic houses are still used as domestic fashion, but most of them are used for business of some kind. There are museums in these homes, restaurants, bed and breakfast, and a variety of other attractions. Now, in Marion, Alabama, we got Kenworthy Hall, also known as the Carlisle Martin House. This home is the fine example of the Italianate villa style of famous architect Richard Upjohn. Finished in 1860 for Edward Kenworthy Carlisle, a local businessman of some wealth. Unfortunately, the American Civil War proved a financial ruin for much of the upper crust of the American South, and the story here is much the same. He saw business do rather well during the war, but after the Union Army claimed victory and Reconstruction period set in, the estate lost a considerable amount of value.
Motion detected at the front door.
Since the end of the Civil War, the house has ping-ponged between being a family estate and a destitute, abandoned property. During the period of abandonment, locals came to call Kenworthy Hall a haunted house. Many have claimed to see the forlorn spirit of Lucinda, the wife of Edward, still in the house, usually she spotted staring from a window. But sometimes eyewitnesses say she was strolling through the yard. Today, the house is private property, but it's worth taking a drive by to just check it out. It's listed on the National Register of Historic Places. You never know who you might see looking out the window at you. Then in Selma, Alabama, we have Sturtevant Hall. Famously haunted by the ghost of John Parkman, Sturtevant Hall's a home-turned-museum that dates back to 1856. This Greek Revival masterpiece was designed by Thomas Helm Lee for Colonel Edward T. Watts. He and his family lived there to 1864 when he sold the property to Parkman, who had become president of the First National Bank of Selma. Of course, he wouldn't keep that job for long. Because of the financial woes inflicted by the Civil War, times were tough in Selma. And it wasn't long before Parker ran the bank into financial ruin. Some say he even embezzled. Regardless, he was arrested by military governor Wager Swaney and placed in prison. A short time later, in 1867, he attempted to escape the jail and was killed in the process. Now he haunts the employees and visitors of the museum. And he's not alone, I might point out. Spirits of his two daughters are also said to be in the house. So if you plan to visit Sturtevant Hall, be sure to keep an eye out in the upper story windows. The ghost of the two girls are often seen there, looking out. As for John, he prefers to appear downstairs before the eyes of startled witnesses, where he'll open and close doors on occasion before he vanishes in front of your eyes. Then in Camden, Arkansas, we have the McCullum Chichester House. Operated by the Ouachita County Historical Society, this historic home is now a museum, along with the Leakey Ingram Building located out back. Built by Peter McCullum in 1847, it was later sold to Colonel John T. Chichester in 1857. Colonel Chichester is quite the controversial figure in Arkansas since he was doing business with supporters of the Union. Even allowed his home to be used as the headquarters for Union General Frederick Steele during the Battle of Poison Spring. Featuring the original furniture purchased by Colonel Chichester, this living museum is quite popular with the Civil War crowd. It's truly one of the most authentic sites you can visit. Feels like you're stepping back through time. Maybe this is the reason the ghost has decided to stick around. They're said to be the product of the battle fought nearby. Above referenced the Battle of Poison Spring and are seen and heard in the area surrounding the house. Many people have glimpsed misty apparitions, glowing balls of light, and even the occasional full-blooded apparition. Ghostly noises include the phantom sounds of war as well as moans and groans of the wounded and the dying. But it's definitely worth a visit. Then in Marietta, Georgia, we have the Kennesaw House. The Kennesaw House houses the Marietta Museum of History, and it was built in 1845. While it was intended to be a cotton warehouse, it was quickly snatched up by a man named Dix Fletcher, who promptly installed the Fletcher House Hotel on the property. Major General William T. Sherman made his way through town during his Atlanta campaign of the Civil War. The home was one of the few structures that wasn't burned to the ground. See, Fletcher belonged to the Masons, and the family members reported to be a Union spy. Instead, he proposed the building be used as a hospital and a morgue. Since the war, the Kennesaw House has been mainly used as a mercantile center. Various shops and stores have been located there over the years till the museum moved in. As for the ghosts, they date back to the horrible misery that soldiers endured when being treated and prepared for burial at this historic home. Guests reported seeing the residual sights of a hospital room in action, complete with screams of pain, blood on the floor, and doctors working diligently to try to save their patients. In addition to this, there seems to be a benevolent spirit on the property. It could be the late Mrs. Fletcher. Those who've seen her say she appears with a whiff of perfume. She's wearing an 1800s dress. Then in Franklin, Kentucky, we have the Octagon Hall. Now, what is it about octagon-shaped houses that seems to invite ghosts? Well, in the case of Octagon Hall, the actor's spirits are just another attraction that draws people to this awesome living museum. Built in 1859 for Andrew Jackson Caldwell, the house was still brand new when the Civil War came calling at the nearby Battle of Fort Donelson. Because Caldwell is a well-known Confederate supporter, the Union Army made sure to visit the place. After killing most of the cattle and destroying what crops they had, the federal troops moved on. But Caldwell continued to be a strong supporter of the South. Throughout the war, Octagon Hall provided a hiding place for wounded rebels when it was possible. Most of the displays within the museum today involve the Civil War and life during the mid-1800s. If you take a tour with the employees, you might see a lot of the ghostly hotspots around the house. The first stop would be the basement where the spirit of a young girl is said to reside. Said she burned to death while cooking over an open fire. People have seen and heard her in this area, and she seems to be one of the most active ghosts. There's also the spirit of a man in the top level of the house. Some say he's a member of the Caldwell family. Some say he's a servant. And then there are those who believe he's a soldier who died while taking refuge in the house. Whoever he might have been, he's quite active. His disembodied voice has been heard a number of times. There are cold spots left in his wake, and he seems to like lying on the beds. And in Lexington, Kentucky, there's the Hunt Morgan House. John Hunt Morgan was a brigadier general in the Confederate Army and was killed during a raid at Greenville, Tennessee, September 4, 1864. His home, historically known as Rosemont, was built by his grandfather, John Wesley Hunt, in 1814. Other than the dashing, daring General Morgan, there's another famous figure attached to the estate, Dr. Thomas Hunt Morgan, the great-grandson of General Morgan. He was awarded a Nobel Prize for his work in genetics. All this history, as well as more Civil War-related material, can be explored if you visit this gorgeous federal-style residence. When the Bluegrass Trust for Historic Preservation saved the Hunt Morgan House from demolition, they had no idea how popular the house would be with the general public, especially the ghost-hunting community. They offer tours of the property with the Alexander T. Hunt Civil War Museum on the second floor. Is almost always a hit. As for the ghost enthusiasts, they have a great time as well. The spirit of John Wesley Hunt's been witnessed roaming the first floor of the house, and the ghost of a former servant dubbed Mammy James is said to hang out on the third floor where the nursery was once located. Well, we've run out of time once again. We'll be back and talk about more Civil War locations that have permanent residents tomorrow. But for right now, this is Ken Hudnall for the Ken Hudnall Show, saying have a truly great evening.